welcome to the New Beginnings Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
Father, we just thank you for this morning. Your presence is still here. So I just pray that your presence would just ride this whole time we have together. The ease and the refreshment, like Joylynn said, of the Holy Spirit would be here this morning. Lord, we would actually find security and safety in your presence and in your arms, God. You're not a scary God. You're actually really good. We might have the fear of the Lord, but we're not afraid of you. We actually trust you, and we're confident to come to you. So I just pray for your blessing this morning, and you would just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, cool. This morning, I wanted to chat about just kind of Israel's history a little bit. I mean, a lot of us know about Israel and kind of, you know, their history out of Egypt, going to the promised land, the inheritance, what God promised to them, but also, too, really the stuff they had to go through. And then the scripture says that it was revealing what was in their own heart. That's what the scripture says. And so, and I believe that God doesn't reveal stuff in our hearts to shame us or to condemn us, but it's to free us and to grow us into who we're supposed to become. Isn't that so good? That's so good. And if we don't have the right thinking, we'll think that what comes out of us is it makes us look terrible, or is meant to make us look terrible, but it's not. It's meant to heal us and to grow us so we can be an impact to people around us. So we can tell them that what's coming out of them is gonna help them get them free. That's what we're about. And so I love that the Lord does that. He reveals what's in our hearts, not to shame us, but to free us. That's a word right there, dude. So I want to set this up. And if you have your Bibles, go to Exodus 32. And I'm just going to read a few scriptures out of that chapter. Let's see here. One thing you'll notice about me is that when I prepare, Amanda knows, when I had my senior teaching in a class we took together, I had so much scripture. You're like, this guy's preaching Bible right now. I'll have so much scripture. It's so funny. It's so good, though. Exodus 32. And you can keep flipping there if you need to. But so the background is, Exodus, we all know about the Israelites. God had sent... raised up Moses to take the Israelites out of Egypt, to deliver them. But what I found interesting was that he chose Moses, and Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, in Pharaoh's palace. So he was a Hebrew, but he didn't understand, he didn't live or think like the Hebrews did, although that was his blood. So the background is... God had to raise up Moses to do that for them. But two of the things that stick out to me was that, for Moses, like individually, personally, God brought him through the process of really having Moses understand where he came from, the people, his family, his people, where he came from. And maybe Moses had a little bit of identity crisis, you know, when he was getting taken out of Egypt and out of Pharaoh's house and now put with the Hebrews. And he's like, oh no, I'm realizing I'm actually like these people, but I don't think or dress or talk like them at all. So Moses had to go through his own personal journey in figuring out who he was, his own identity. And the second thing that really stuck out to me is God had to choose someone who grew up in royalty and someone who didn't have a slavery mentality. Someone who knew what it was to grow up in a palace and have a wealthy mindset, of a more than enough mindset, which is interesting because if God would have raised up somebody who was amongst the people, the Hebrews, I don't even know if they would have made it, to be honest with you, you know, because when everybody was rebelling, Moses was the one who was like, guys, come on, like God said he's going to deliver us, let's go. And so that was the very interesting thing for me is that It was is very specific and unique that he chose Moses. And the Lord does that all the time, right? He chooses people that are, you know, called for that specific thing. And so if you move forward in the story of Exodus and you move forward, the Israelites are going, they, you know, they cross the Red Sea, they do all this stuff, they get the Ten Commandments from the mountain, from Sinai. You know, Moses is going up and talking to God. He's realizing that, you know, his people are acting a lot different than how he is. And he's like, okay, well, I'm the middleman, basically, to get the word for my people. And so it really catches up all the way to chapter 32. And that's where I want to just kind of camp out today. And so I want to read, I'll just start off by reading Exodus 32. And then I'll stop and then I can kind of go into my notes here. So Exodus 32, verse 1 through 6, it says, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' So Aaron said to them, 'Take off your rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.'" Verse 3, "So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." So what's interesting about that is that as soon as Moses takes a little bit longer than he usually does, they immediately build an idol. Immediately. And God's like, yeah. And God's like, what the heck, guys? He's like, I just gave you my commandments, like no other gods before me. And you go and you build a calf. Like, what is this, you know? And I mean, if you read a little bit verses later, God was very furious, you know, because he's like, oh my gosh, these people are like, don't understand. You know, they're stiff-necked. That's what the Bible said. They were stiff-necked. The Israelites were. But that what's interesting about those scriptures too is that in verse 1 it says, "When Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods.'" And so that's kind of like that's really my second point. Actually, let me go into my first point. So yes, really the second point, so I'm kind of going back. But my first point is, Moses was their guy, right? Moses was their guy. He's obviously up in the mountain, so they're kind of without a leader. They're like, okay, we don't have any fresh word. What do we do? We're going to create idol. But what was highlighted to me was that in the Old Testament, Moses was the one that God selected. But in the New Testament, we all get the same access to the Lord that Moses got. Moses got face-to-face, but now in the New Covenant with Jesus, we all get the access, and no access is greater. It's only on our part how much we want to press in and get from the Lord what we want. And so, yes, in the New Covenant, yes, we have leaders, but we're not dependent on our leaders to give us what we need spiritually. They add to our lives, yes, and they cover us and they watch over us, but our main source of dependence, which the Israelites didn't understand yet, comes from God. It's our day-to-day, 24/7 communion with the Lord, our face-to-face with him. And so our leaders add to that. And so they keep us staying healthy. They remind us of where the Lord is taking us. But unlike the Israelites, we have access, and we have to remember to press in day to day to day, because so we can stay in a place where we're not creating idols in our lives, where our leader, all of a sudden, we don't come one Sunday and we create a golden calf. You know, that's metaphorically, but We stay in the right heart posture for towards the Lord. So I want to give you an example from my life of like where this actually, this thing made so much sense. I remember I was a leader during the world race semester. I was actually leading Courtney's squad. I was leading a group of men on her squad. And I was struggling hard in this season, very, very hard. And what was happening in my heart was that I was being grown into more of a son of God. I just didn't know it. I was going almost from like milk to meat kind of thing, you know, like the scripture says. And and then before that, though, previously I had built an idea that I was spending, that when I was spending time with him, I would only feel God when I felt him in my emotions. That was my idea of connecting with God. When I was sobbing, when I was worshiping, when I was yelling, that like when I felt him in my soul, in my emotions, my emotions, that's when I felt, oh, I'm connected to God. But what God was showing me and was growing me in was that my soul, my emotions was not the only thing that connected me to him. And what I realized is that I was going to leader, like to leader after leader after leader, trying to get an answer for what I was going through. I'm like, guys, I need help. I'm a mess right now. And I remember going leader after, and I wouldn't get the answer I was wanting. I was like, I'm struggling and I don't know what's happening in here. And they were not giving me the answer to unlock or to reveal what was happening. And it wasn't until I was like literally at a dead end. And then one day I realized, well, through the help of another friend, he literally just came and just told me what the Lord was saying. And I realized, like, in a moment, the Lord was wanting to whisper to me. He was just wanting to chat, just to talk. I had experienced him in all the big emotions and the highs. And yes, those encounters are good, and we need those. Those keep us fiery and keep us going. But he wanted to switch the way he spoke to me. He wanted to whisper to me. And I just didn't understand that because I was so used, the way I met him was in a crazy wild experience with so much emotion. And it took me a while to really get over that way of thinking, to understand that, oh, as a son of God, there's different facets in how God wants to meet with me. And so that's kind of like my example I use for, you know, when there's other people in our lives who are directing us, maybe even leaders or people who are, we get food from, like spiritually, they can't become our main source. Because there might come moments too where we're looking for answers for ourselves in our own walk, and we won't find them from other people. We'll find them in the secret place with the Lord. Some things you can't find from other people, you'll have to find in the secret place. And that's really hard. That's really hard to like come to grips with. But it's only because God loves us and he wants to woo us into that place where we're disciplined enough to sit with him. And we have to be willing, no matter how painful it is, no matter how scared we are or how hurt we are, to come face to face with the Lord, to sit with him and say, God, what are you saying? God, what do you think about this? And that can be painful because it can be, oh, here we go. Like, we're going to God again. You know, I don't know if I can trust what he's saying to me because I'm just so hurt. I'm hurt right now, or I'm hurting, or I'm wounded, or I'm angry, or I can't really see the future really well. But we have to be willing to sit and just to trust what the whisper that's coming to us, just to trust it and just keep moving and just keep moving. Keep moving and keep moving. And that's one of the things personally the Lord has been really, really walking me through a lot, because I feel him a lot in my emotions and I feel him all the time. Senses is, they're always, every day, my senses are always picking up on him, what he's doing. But the challenge has been the whisper for me. And I think that's the challenge for, I think, a lot of us, but also to a real place of maturity when we can just sit and just know that he says something and then just go. So that's kind of the first part. But the second part, which was in verse 1, was when God revealed, or when God was talking about, but in the scriptures, when it said that they had built a golden calf, or they saw Moses delayed, and so they went and made an idol. And I think, you know, idols can destroy us. Because they, our attention and our affection they get turned to something that does not bring life, that does not sustain. And like God does, basically, it does not sustain and does not bring life. And in verse 7, 32 verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." God didn't corrupt them. They corrupted themselves by having an idol. When there's idols in our lives, we corrupt ourselves. And I think God is sitting there like, no, you know, like, why? We corrupt our hearts because our hearts, a part of us get taken away. When really that side of us should be fully focused on Him, because He can provide the solution and the comfort and the peace we need and that the idol can't. So kind of what I was mentioning earlier is that the Lord had literally just given them the Ten Commandments. Like, I think the first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. And they, the first thing they do is like, boom, check it off. The first one, we're knocking that one off the table. We're going to go ahead and create an idol. Let's just go ahead and, you know, make God mad, whatever. But what was crazy is that, what was crazy is that they had just gotten that and their hearts weren't grounded, and which was so crazy to me. And so I would like to suggest that they're turning away from God and creating an idol was because they were still in a state of orphanhood. They still didn't know whose they were. Although God already had declared all these things over them, they still were struggling with realizing whose they were, who was their God. And the orphanhood is scary because the orphans think that nobody's for them, everybody's abandoned them, everybody's left them. And the Israelites were in that kind of spirit. But us in the new covenant, the scripture says we have the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted by the Lord. And so I think sometimes when that orphan thing wants to come up, when it says, I don't know if God's for me, I think everybody's left me, taking those thoughts captive and saying, that's not true. And that's not true. I have full access to God still right now. And it's on my part, even though it's really hard for me, I'm going to go ahead and sit and I'm going to ask for His presence. I'm going to ask for His input and His wisdom. Even one thing I've experienced is that I overthink and I wrestle so much. I wrestle so much in my mind instead of actually just simply sitting and sitting with Him and just getting to know what He's saying. Sometimes I do that. I wrestle so much. And I think that God's like, bro, don't wrestle so much. Just come and sit with me. You know, don't just empty out. Don't overthink. Just come and sit. Don't stress yourself out even more. And that's the beautiful thing we have about the new covenant with Jesus is that we don't have to be orphans. We're not. We just have to sit, even when we don't understand. And that's really hard. And I know that's really hard. John 14 verse 8 says, I will not leave you as orphans. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then later on, I think later on in the maybe 16, 15, I don't know what chapter it is, but He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send Holy Spirit. So He's with you forever. And we get to operate now with the Trinity, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit every single day. So we get different facets of the Godhead. So isn't that amazing? Like He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to send you the empowerment so you can live this life and gain victory and conquer the things in your life so you can come into full maturity. I think it's amazing. The Lord's on the mountain with Moses, and obviously Moses doesn't even know what's happening down there, right? And He goes, go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. That's verse 7. And so really the idols, what they do is they really corrupt our hearts. And I think sometimes it grieves the heart of the Father because He knows that He has something so much better than the idol. And I want to say this, the idols, usually they come from I know for me, a lot of it's come from my youth, my childhood. I created idols because I was lacking something in my youth, in my heart, whether it was, you know, a love or a nurturing that I needed to receive that I didn't get. So an idol was created along the way somewhere where I thought that I would get nurturing and comfort and love from that thing. And the Lord's had to work with me to remove those idols out of my life because they won't sustain. They might be temporary pleasure, like instant gratification, but they're not long lasting. They're not eternal healing for me. And I think that's one of the things, like, I would encourage us to continue to press into the Lord and ask him, is there any idols in my life? Is there an idol in my life that I'm not letting go of? Because maybe it's painful for me. Maybe there's something there that created this idol that you actually just want to remove because you want to fill that. You want to heal that in my heart. And God is awesome because he does give life. He sustains us, but also he doesn't lie. He wants to reveal the truth of what's happening in our hearts to us. He wants to reveal the truth of who we are, which an idol cannot do for you. They can't speak life and they can't speak the truth to you, who you are and where your heart's at, and also your destiny, where you're going. What I love about that is when, God's words are life. And in John 6:63, this is amazing. I saw this, that is like, what the heck? It says, it is the spirit who gives life and the flesh is no help at all. The old man, no help. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. That's what Jesus said. The words I've spoken are spirit and life. That means they carry the power for you to heal. They carry the power for you to overcome. They carry the power for you to feel like, oh my God, I was made. I was born for this. I was made for this. I mean, Peter literally, I think maybe five verses later, Jesus is preaching, right? And Peter goes, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life, to eternal life. Like, your words are it, man. We need your words. I don't know. I don't understand everything. I don't get where this is going. But I just know that I feel at home when I'm with you. Like, I feel like myself. And I think that's always the Lord's heart for us, is that maybe even in our understanding, when we're removing things from our lives, we might not see the full picture, but the Lord wants us to remember that his words are spirit and they're life. They're not lies and death, spirit and life. And so my third point here was, is really is one of my favorites. I love it because I believe we believe as a body and as a leadership that everyone is significant. Everyone was born for significance. And that's hard to wrap your mind around if you haven't known that. But everybody was created to make a huge impact in your life now. And we all have access to the same God in heaven. We all have access to heaven. So every believer in Jesus has full access to the Lord. And this can get perverted because the devil likes to come in and he likes to tell us that God doesn't want to meet with us. His biggest tactic, we all know, is what? Shame. Shame, because we hide ourselves, right? But the Lord is like, no, shame off. Shame off of you. I don't care if whatever you've done, just come to me. And I'll remove your shame. I'll make your face radiant. I think it says in Psalms that our faces are radiant because we're standing face to face with him. Unashamed, unhindered, just completely abandoned. Say, Father, this is what I'm bringing. This is all I got. And he's like, good. That's all I need. Good. You don't need to come to me all perfect and all put together. It's just dumb. Because the Lord is our father and our daddy, and a good dad doesn't care how his kids come to him. He just cares that they come to him. That's his heart. And the other thing I love about about us having all having access to heaven is that this makes so much sense because God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't have favorites. We're all his favorite, which is awesome. I was like, yours favorite, yours favorite, yours favorite. And I can say, I think I'm his favorite. That's all I'm saying. I think I'm his favorite. But you see what I'm like, my expression though, I'm like, I know that I'm his favorite. But that should be all of us. Because he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't see one child as greater than the other child. He says, oh, whatever they want to get from me, whatever they want to press in, whatever they want to talk about, I'm here for it. And I'm going to give the same thing that I can give this child, but it's up to them. I'm not going to force them to come to me. I'm not going to force them to have a relationship and to talk about the things in their life with me. And I love that about him. We're all his favorite. And so 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, and we all, I want an exclamation point, all. And we all with unveiled face, unveiled, not like Moses where he had veiled, unveiled, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Moses had a veiled face, and it was just him who could talk to God. Now we can all talk to God and with unveiled faces. Isn't that amazing? That's like a double whammy right there. Not just one man, but all. And we don't even have to hide ourselves, completely free and open. You can see everything that I am. You can see all of me. I don't care. Isn't that amazing? Because it's shame off. It's shame off. We don't have to live a life of shame or of hiding or of, you know, hindrance or, oh, I don't know if I can bring this to him. Like, one of the greatest things that I would even encourage you guys to practice when you're by yourself, I'll preface this, when you're by yourself, is like in your room, you know, or maybe you're on a drive by yourself. Just share with the Lord what's on your mind. Like, just freely. Like, freely. Don't hold back. Because like I said, a good father doesn't really care what his child is saying. They're just glad that they're being honest. Sometimes we need to be honest and just say what's on our mind and on our hearts and realize that God's not going to smite us because we cussed or because we got very angry or upset. He's actually saying, oh, I knew that was in there. I was just waiting for you to tell me. He was like, okay, well, now we can work on it. Now we can grow. Okay, well, let's go somewhere with this. Now that your heart's free, like, let's keep going. And so that's an encouragement just to you guys to just be raw with the Lord. I think it's one of the most freeing things in your personal time. It's awesome. And so another scripture I want to read as I'm finishing up here is Hebrews 4:16. And this is kind of like the cherry on top, I think. It says, so let's walk. This is, I think, the Message version, but it said, let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. I was going to say receive. Accept the help. I'll read it again. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. This scripture is talking about, in another translation, it talks about grace. I think in the Passion translation, it says, receive mercy's kiss and take the grace that you need because you need help. That's amazing. And you can confidently walk right up. You can boldly walk right up and say, I need mercy right now. But I also need grace to help me do what I couldn't previously do. That's the beautiful thing about having access to God, is that we come to him and he empowers us with grace to keep going and to overcome what we were struggling with or what we needed help with or what we wanted to grow in. I think this morning I just want to maybe walk us through a prayer, really of if there's any if in, anything that's an idol in our life, anything that's maybe has attention and affection that it should be on the Lord and not on that. Just a small prayer, and then just listen to the Holy Spirit, whatever he says. Maybe there's nothing that comes up for you. Great, that's amazing. But if there is, then we just get to release it, and then we just get to say, Father, would you fill that place? And I'm sorry that I kept that as an idol from you, or from I'm sorry I kept that in my heart. I want you to be on the throne of my heart. That'll set us free. So if you want to close your eyes, and I'll just, you can repeat after me in your mind or in your heart or out loud, whatever you want to do. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you so much for just being with us. You reveal what's in our hearts so you can heal our hearts. That's so good. I pray that this day, God, from this day forever, we would know that, God, in really, really deep-rooted, you reveal so you can heal. That's a good dad to me. That's so good. Thank you, Father. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray right now you would just speak to us clearly in our minds, in our hearts. If there's anything that's idle, God, that we just need to remove, we need to crush, because it's taking our attention and our affection. It's corrupting us, but you want to come into that place. So if you want to repeat after me, say, Father, is there any idol in my heart that you want to remove? Next thing I just want you to ask Holy Spirit is, Holy Spirit, why did this idol become an idol? Where did this come from? And if you can hear or sense kind of where that's, what's the root or where it came from, then just say, Father, I just repent. I just changed my way of thinking. Take this idol, God, I don't want it anymore. And fill that place with your love in my heart. God, thank you for, I want to say this first. If you have something and you feel like it's, you know, done and dusted, it's settled, good. Thank you, Lord. But also, if this needs to be a process that you just continue to work on at home, even, I would encourage you to do so. And just let the Lord bring freedom if there's something there. And, Lord, I just thank you for this family. Thank you for our family. And that we all have access to you. You are our only God, our one God. And you bring life, you reveal truth, and you sustain us. And also, thank you that we have leaders and we have mentors and amazing people in our life. They encourage us and they cover us and they push us to our destiny. But most of our nutrition, God, comes day to day with you. Most of our relationship comes with you day to day. So I just thank you for, I just thank you for being with us in the presence and just being in our midst. Father, we just ask that you would go with us, your presence would go with us as we continue to see what's in our hearts so that way we can see who you've created us to be fully.